Begging to speak to us, and I want to go through a bit of an introduction of him before we bring him up. Tom Hegna is the president of TomHegna.com. He's originally from Glenwood, Minnesota, attended North Dakota State University on an Army ROTC scholarship, graduated with honors. He was commissioned in the U.S. Army and spent 6 years on active duty and another 16 and a half years in the U.S. Army Reserves, retiring as a lieutenant colonel. He started his career with MetLife, qualified for Million Dollar Roundtable. In 96, he joined New York Life, was promoted to vice president in March of 2006, and first vice president in 2010. In August of this year, he started TomHegna.com, now speaks for numerous companies all over the world, has authored a book, which he will talk to you a little bit about, Paychecks and Playchecks, and resides in Arizona. In October of 2009, he was a main platform speaker at the top of the table meeting for the Million Dollar Roundtable. He spoke at the 2010 AALU National Meeting, was a main platform meeting in the 2010 NAFA Annual Meeting in Seattle, and the main platform speaker at the Million Dollar Roundtable meeting in Vancouver in 2010. He's married and he has four children. Here is Tom Hegna.
All right. Thank you, Bill. All right. Thank you, Utah. If you want to know how I got here, Bill Gallagher, sneaky as he is, called me up about 3-4 months ago. He says, Tom, do you believe in free speech? And I was taken a little back. I know Bill for a long time. I said, Bill, you know I do. I was in the Army 22 years defending free speech. He said, great. I thought you'd say that. I need to come to Provo and give one to the Taggart Symposium. So you're all participating in my free speech today. So I know you're wondering, how awful is this guy going to be? I'm going to make a deal with you. I'm going to try not to make it very awful, all right? Some people say, well, why aren't you in New York Life? Look, I started two websites, all right, TomHegna.com and PaychecksandPlaychecks.com. And I'd encourage you to visit it. The real reason is I wrote a book, and this book is about the math and science of the proper way to retire, okay? There is one best way to retire, and they would not let a senior executive officer of the company write a book. And so I literally felt called to write this book. And I can tell you the day it happened. It's 25 years in the making. But here is the day, April 4th of this year. Wall Street Journal came out. I still carry the paper. I don't know if you saw this, but it says, Fed's low interest rates crack retirees' nest eggs. This article was all about a gentleman by the name of Forrest Yeager, 91 years of age, Port Charlotte, Florida, down to his last $45,000. He has it sitting in a bank CD earning less than 1%. It's sending him $300 a year. He says, I can't live on it. I'm having to touch my principal, and I'm going to run out of money. And I'm reading this. I said, doesn't Forrest know he can walk into any insurance company in America and be guaranteed how much? Over 20% a year? Every year for the rest of his life, that his $45,000 would give him $9,000 a year guaranteed as long as he lived. He didn't know that. Some of you didn't know that. Most of your clients don't know that. I said, I got to write a book. Then the rest of the people in this article, they didn't have their money in CDs. They put their money in stocks and high yield bonds. How's that been working out? See, they've totally lost their peace of mind. What I want you to know is that there is one best way for every one of you to retire, one best way for all of your clients to retire, and that's not my opinion. That's a mathematical, scientific, and economic fact. See, the problem right now is, if your clients sit down with 50 different financial advisors on how they should retire, you know what they're going to get? They're going to get 50 different opinions. And all of those opinions, unfortunately, are going to be suboptimal, which is going to be the title of my next book, Suboptimal, because that's the way most people retire. So I'm going to start out right now by asking you this. Whatever happened to happily ever after? You know, you read those stories to your kids and grandkids. At the end of every story, what happened? Everybody always lived happily ever after. If you think about it, retirement used to be a promise. You'd work for a company for 30 years. Then what? They'd hold a party. Then what? They'd present you with a gold watch. Then what? They'd give you a guaranteed paycheck every single month for the rest of your life so that you too could live happily ever after. Hey, what happened to that deal? Do you realize only 19% of Americans have that guaranteed paycheck for life, that pension, and 16 of the 19 are government workers? So basically today, unless you work for the government, you probably don't have nor ever will have that guaranteed paycheck for life. And that's happening right when there's 78 million baby boomers rushing headlong and headstrong in retirement, a time when people need guaranteed lifetime income more than ever, and they don't have it. Add to the fact that people are living longer. The average 65-year-old male will live to be age 85. The average 65-year-old female will live to be age 88. But what's the problem with averages? See, the problem with averages is that has nothing to do with how long you're going to live. Half of everyone in this room will live longer than that. See, if you've studied life expectancy like I have, you're going to figure this out. Life expectancy is not an average at all. Life expectancy is simply a midpoint. You see, all it means is that half of the 65-year-old men will die prior to age 85. What about the other half? Half of the 65-year-old women will die prior to age 88. What about the other half? See, they're all still alive. Now, I said I'd stick to mathematical, scientific, and economic facts today. I'll give you my first fact of the day. Married people live longer than single people. I have no idea why, but it's a fact. And if you look at the average 65-year-old couple here, his life expectancy is 85, hers is 88, but as a couple, their life expectancy is 92. 50% of all your couples are going to have somebody live to be age 92. Think about that. 25% of your book of business is going to have somebody live to be age 97. And there'll be plenty of people in this room who live beyond age 100. Now, here's what you need to understand. Here's a core concept that you got to understand. Longevity is not just a risk. See, it's a risk to live a long time. But what you got to understand is longevity is a risk multiplier of all the other risks in retirement. Let me prove my point. If you retire at 65 and die at 68, it doesn't matter if the stock market went down 40%. It doesn't matter if you withdrew 12% a year out of your portfolio. It doesn't matter if the first 3 years of your retirement market went, none of that matters. It doesn't matter if you didn't buy a long-term care policy because you didn't live long enough for it to impact it. But if you retired 65 and lived to 100, all of those risks are multiplied. It's almost 100% chance you're going to need long-term care if you live to 100. You see, all the other risks are multiplied because of longevity risk. It's not just a risk. So it's the biggest risk in retirement. You have to take it off the table, and I'm going to share with you how you do that. Another thing, I say people know how much money they have. I do believe you all know how much money you have, and I can prove it. What I want you to do is think of this number. How much money have you been able to save personally from birth until today? Just think of that number. And I'll bet everyone in here can get it within what? $600,000 or $700,000 of the real number, right? See, so I know you know how much money you have. It's just that most people don't have a good idea of what they can expect from that money. See, USA Today, and take a note of this one. USA Today had an article 3 years ago. They said 50% of all baby boomers believe they can take out 10% or more each year from their portfolio in retirement. 50% of baby boomers believe that. Well, you can. You're just going to run out of money real fast. Now, the Wall Street Journal had an article. What did the Wall Street Journal say was the bulletproof? Bulletproof withdrawal rate from a diversified portfolio is what percent? No, 4% will fail. No, 2% is bulletproof. They said 3% is safe. 4% will fail, depending on the model, 20 to 30% of the time. 5% or more fails how often? 100% of the time. It's just a matter of time. Do you think the average client out there believes that they can only take out 3 to 4% out of their portfolio and that 4 is now an aggressive number? Do you think they really believe that? They don't. We've got to get to them before it's too late, before they get over the tipping point of where they can run out of money. So I'm going to shake the ladder a little bit. I'm going to challenge your thinking. I'm going to show you some things you haven't seen before. I'm going to show it to you in a way you haven't seen before, and I'm going to start right here. The day you retire and start taking money out of a portfolio, all the rules change, and average returns are no longer important. Now, the reason that shaking the ladder is it's going to go against your entire life's experience. Because, see, your entire life, you've been a saver. You've been an investor. And as a saver and an investor, you know average returns do matter. I mean, if you can get 3%, it's better than 1. If you get 5, it's better than 3. If you get 8, it's better than 5. If you get 11, it's better than 8. So we grow up our whole lives thinking average returns matter. You're kind of thinking like this guy. Here's a guy, 1973, he had $100,000. He invested his money 50% stock, 50% bonds. For the next 22 years, he averaged 10.1% per year for 22 years. Hey, can we agree on one thing? If you could get 10.1 for the next 22 years, you'd probably sign up for that deal right now. And his $100,000 grew to be worth $846,000. And it doesn't matter if we ran the numbers backwards from 1995 to 1973 because he still averaged how much? 10.1%, and he still wound up with a boatload of money. See, when you're a saver and an investor, average returns do matter, but not the day you retire. See, the next slide I'm going to show you is a guy who also had $100,000 in 1973. He also invested 50% stock, 50% bonds. He also averaged 10.1% a year for the next 22 years. But this guy retired in 1973, and his financial advisor told him he could take out 5% per year. Now, let me quiz you. How much did he average per year for 22 years? 10.1. How much is he going to take out? 5. So he's okay? He's fine? No, he's dead broke. He's dead broke. Now, somebody in here has to explain to me, how can you average 10.1% a year for 22 years, only take out 5% a year and go broke? And the answer is, because average returns don't matter. The day you retire, all the rules change. There's only one thing that matters the day you retire, and that's called the order of returns. Some companies call it the sequence of returns. It's the same thing. Does anybody remember what happened to the stock market back in 1973, 74, 75? The market went down, down, down. Here's the deal. If it's your turn to retire, and you have your money in a diversified portfolio, and the first 3 years of your retirement, the market goes down, 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 there isn't much else I can do for you. You're either gonna have to put in more, take out less, or you will run out of money. It's called the order of returns. Here's another way of showing it to you. And this is going to go against everything you've always been taught as well. You know why I know? Because it goes against everything I was always taught. See, I was always taught the older you are, the more conservative you should invest. That's what I was taught. I was taught that an 80-year-old should invest more conservatively than a 60-year-old, should invest more conservatively than a 40-year-old. And I bet you were taught that too. That's not what this shows. Both of these portfolios have identical average returns. What's the only difference? The only difference is that the red portfolio lost money early in retirement. It devastated their retirement. The blue portfolio lost money later in life. It had much less of an impact. So if you had to say to me, Tom, when is the riskiest, most critical time for a client to invest their money? I'm going to say it's right here. It's the last 5 or 6 years that you're working, the first 5 or 6 years of retirement. Prudential calls it the red zone. They're exactly right there. You see, if you lose money in that box, it will devastate your retirement. The years right before, right after retirement are the most critical. They're the riskiest years that for you to invest. If you ever picked a time where you don't want to lose money, you don't want to mess it up, you don't want to mess up there. Now let me ask you a question. Where are those 78 million baby boomers right now? They're all in the box. All the baby boomers are in the box. They're either right before or right after retirement. A loss in that box will devastate their retirement. Then you add that inflation. Inflation has a dramatic impact, negative impact on purchasing power over time. And you can see here, 4% inflation over 20 years, $1,000 of purchasing power is cut by more than 50%. Over 30 years, it's cut by more than two-thirds. Now, let me ask you a question. If I went on an appointment with you right now, and I started going on appointments with all of you, would I be hearing from your clients that they're more concerned about deflation or inflation? What are you hearing? Probably inflation, right? The media says we're going to have an inflation explosion. And you've got clients buying oil and gold and silver and guns and bullets and concertina wire and water and toilet paper and toothpaste and toothbrushes because they say it's going to be bad this time. It's going to be bad. Why are they saying that? Well, they're saying that, well, here's a picture of the Treasury Department. I could have put the Federal Reserve up there. They're both kind of partners in crime. They're both in Washington, D.C. I was in Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago for the National NAFA Convention. I walked around both buildings. And I don't remember if it was this window or it could have been this one or it might have been that one right down there. But as I'm walking by, this noise is coming out of there. It's kind of strange. It sounded like this. So I walk around the corner. You know what they've been doing in the past 2 years? Printing. What have they been printing? Money. 7 days a week. 24 hours a day. This country has printed more money in the last 2 years than we've ever seen printed in the history of America. Now, you're not all economics majors. I'm an economics major. Let me take you back to Econ 101. What happens to the value of a dollar every time you print another dollar? Value goes down. Every time you print another dollar, the value of all the other dollars goes down. This isn't my opinion. This is a mathematical, scientific, and economic fact. Well, if the value of the dollar goes down, what happens when you go to buy something? You need more dollars. That's called inflation. See, when you print money, it causes inflation. Maybe. Eventually. See, what your clients don't get is this. Printing money alone does not cause inflation. You won't find one economist in this world that says, if you print money, therefore there is inflation. That is false. If you studied economics, you know it's the supply of money times another component that equals inflation. Does anybody know what that other component is? It's called the velocity of money. It's how fast money turns over in the economy. And just like our money supply has gone up like nothing we've ever seen, the velocity of money has gone down like nothing we've ever seen. There is no velocity of money. So Bernanke printed $2 trillion, no core inflation. Printed another $1 trillion, no core inflation. Word on the street is he's getting ready to plug it back in and start printing some more. And he might print another trillion and another trillion and another trillion, and we might not see core inflation. Now, some of you say, well, Tom, you're wrong. We've seen inflation. Okay, one of my favorite websites after TomHagnett.com and Paychex at Playchecks.com is a website by the name of SeekingAlpha.com. And I would encourage you to take a look at SeekingAlpha.com. If you think about it, what is alpha? Alpha is simply a measurement of outperformance of any investment. So I would say if you're an investor, you're seeking alpha, because anytime you put your money someplace, you want it to do better than the other places you could have put your money. And what Seeking Alpha said, I'm going to quote them several times today. I get some of my best material from Seeking Alpha. Seeking Alpha said, here's what we're seeing with inflation. We're seeing inflation in everything you owe, like food and gas and medicine. And deflation in everything you own, like real estate. And they called it a toxic combination. Hey, let me make a case for you right now that certainly inflation is a long-term threat. It'd be very difficult to print that much money without it eventually working its way in the economy and causing not only inflation but potentially hyperinflation down the road. But let me make the case right now that your client's biggest threat right now may very well be deflation. And that we may be in a low, 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 low rate world for a long, long, long time. Let me ask you, how long has Japan been in a zero interest rate environment? Over 25 years. We could be in this interest rate environment for 5, 10, 15, 20 more years. I know you don't believe me, so let me make the case. Okay, so before the Japan earthquake and tsunami, before the Mideast crisis, there was something going on in the streets of Europe, the streets of Greece, the streets of France, the streets of Ireland. What was going on? Riots. Riots on the streets of Greece. Riots on the streets of France. Riots on the streets of... Why were there riots going on in the streets of Europe? Because governments over there have been forced to cut government programs. You see, in Greece, they had a really neat deal. They said, hey, if you're 55... you get to retire for the rest of your life at 50,000 a year. Oh, unless you're a woman who's had a baby, because that's extremely stressful, then 45. And then you get that pension for the rest of your life. Well, that was kind of unrealistic, unreasonable. The Greeks blew through all their money, and now they said, okay, now we got to change it. So now instead of 45 and 55, you got to wait till you're 65. Instead of 50,000, we'll give you 30,000. What do the Greeks say? No, you can't touch my Social Security. You can't touch my Medicare. Those are my entitlements. I'm entitled to those. And they took to the streets. In fact, what did Seeking Alpha say was going to be the best investment you could make in the next 10 years? Did you read that? Tear gas. Tear gas because of all the riots that are going to happen around the world as governments are forced to cut these programs. Look, I would argue that we are literally witnessing a bubble bursting before our very eyes. I mean, you remember the dot-com/dot-bomb bubble, right? And the NASDAQ crash hasn't come back. Then there was a housing bubble. I don't think it's hurt Provo and Salt Lake and Utah as much as Arizona. But it's devastated my state of Arizona. 4 years ago, you could buy a beautiful 6-bed, 5-bath home on a golf course, pool, jacuzzi, office, theater room, $1 million. Today, you can pick up that exact same home for $200,000. Homes in Arizona are going for 20 cents on the dollar. But I would argue there is another bubble bursting before our very eyes. I call it the government bubble. You see, governments around the world for the past 30 years have overpromised. And for the next 30 years, they're going to be in the business of under-delivering. And this under-delivering is going to be highly deflationary, not inflationary. And then you got this entire Eurozone crisis, you know, tied to the euro. Let me just explain this. You got multiple countries that share one currency, the euro, but they don't share one monetary authority. And so you got the southern states like Greece and Portugal and Italy and Spain, and they spent wildly and irresponsibly. Then you got the very responsible Germans that are working hard and saving. Now that they're taxing the Germans so the Greeks can retire when they're 55. How popular think that plan is in Germany? It's not popular. It's very unpopular. And so Milton Friedman predicted this 30 years ago. He's a Nobel Peace Prize winning economist. He said, you can't have one currency that's not shared by countries under the same monetary authority. What you need to know is this is a big deal. Like, this could literally cause a global depression if this thing blows up. Well, a lot of Americans don't get it. They say, oh, who cares? Let Greece go. They're small. Who cares? I don't even know where they are. Let them fail. If Greece goes, Portugal goes. Portugal goes, Ireland goes. Ireland goes, Spain goes. Spain goes, Italy goes. Italy goes, Germany goes. Germany goes, we go. It's like a set of dominoes. This is a big deal, but you got to know this is highly deflationary, not inflationary. All I can say is I'm glad all the problems are over there and we're fine over here. Except that we're not. New York is broke. New Jersey is broke. California is broke. Illinois is the Greece of the United States. Just like nobody believes Greece can ever pay off their debts, nobody believes Illinois can ever pay off their debts. How do we get to this situation? How did the greatest country in the world get to this place? Well, at the state and local level, a lot of it has to do with these state and local pension plans. Now, these are promises that have been made to state and local workers that the money doesn't exist to pay. They allowed state and local workers to work for 20 or 25 years, retire in their 40s and early 50s, get these big pensions with pay raises every single year for the rest of their life. No company in America could do it. They'd go bankrupt. Well, guess what? Now the state and local governments are going bankrupt. They can't afford it either. And there's going to have to be cuts at the local level, cuts at the state level. You're seeing it. Every time you pick up the paper, somebody's being cut, another program. It's going to continue. You see? They have overpromised, and you saw what happened in Wisconsin when the new governor gets in there and he tries to get the pensions under control, the unions and the protests. Here's what I have to say about that. Coming to a state and town near you, this is going to happen in all 50 states. All I can say is I'm glad our federal government's okay. Except that it's not. We're $14 trillion in debt. We have $44 trillion of unfunded Social Security and Medicare obligations. Now, these are promises made to you that the government doesn't have the money to pay. You add Medicaid, you're at $68 trillion. You add state, local, and federal promises made that cannot be kept are over $100 trillion. Now, I don't know if you saw the Business Week article 2 weeks ago. What did Business Week say? It said why it's worse than you think. What was the total Business Week said? $213 trillion. Dollars of obligations, promises made that can't be kept. Now, your clients don't know what a trillion is. It rhymes with million. It rhymes with billion. Try this. If $1 equals 1 second, $1 million equals 2.5 days, $1 billion equals 32 years, and $1 trillion equals 32,000 years. 32,000 years is $1 trillion. And we're 100 to 200 trillion in the hole. The cuts that are going to be required will be significant. They will impact every person in this room, and those cuts are going to be deflationary. Then there's debt, credit card debt, mortgage debt. Hey, let's say for a minute you bought that house in Arizona 4 years ago for $1 million, and today you're the proud owner of a $200,000 golf course abode. How are you feeling right now? You're grumpy, just like me. People say, Tom, why are you always grumpy? Because I live in Arizona. We're all grumpy. Like, if you got friends in Arizona, you say, what's their problem? Yeah, it's them. It's not you. We're all grumpy because we're all sitting there like that. Okay, so let's say you do what a lot of these other people in Arizona, Nevada, California, Florida. They drop their keys in the mail. They mail it back to the bank. They call it jingle mail. There's so much of this stuff going on. So you jingle mail it back to the bank. What happens to that $800,000? It's like you put it through a shredder. You see, everybody's watching Bernanke, printing $3 trillion. There's $25 to $45 trillion that has to go through the shredder on the other side. That's hugely deflationary. The truth is, he can't print enough to make up for the shredding that's going on the backside. There has never been a country in the history of the world that has had to delever this much debt where it was not a deflationary impact on their economy. The debt and deficit are out of control. All I can say is there's one good thing now. It no longer even matters if you're a Democrat or a Republican. Now it's all about math. We need a math party. We need a party that can add and subtract. You could be the biggest liberal in this room, and I got news for you. It ain't working out. They could tax every man, woman, and child 100%, and we would still have a deficit. That wouldn't work for your family. That wouldn't work for your company, and it won't work for this government. So whether you're Democrat or Republican, the cuts will be significant, and those cuts will be deflationary. Home prices have not stopped falling. They are double dipping. That is deflationary. Home starts are the lowest ever on record. Deflationary. A home vacant near the highest on record, deflationary. Unemployment and underemployment numbers we have not seen since the Great Depression, that is deflationary. Now, for those of you who are saying, Tom, when do you see, could there be an inflection point when interest rates could go up? When could we see inflation? Look, you want to look for at least two things. Number one, unemployment has to come down. And number two, housing has to bottom and start going up before you're going to see any significant inflation. I mean, think about it. Homes are real assets. They call it real estate. Real assets don't go down in times of inflation. Real assets go up in times of inflation. So until unemployment comes down and housing bottoms and starts going up, it's going to be very difficult for any significant inflation to take hold. My last tidbit is this. You will spend the most money in your life between the ages of 46 and 50. Why? Because you got two kids in college. You got the biggest house you ever had. He's driving the Beamer. She's driving the Mercedes. You are blowing through more cash in those years. It's like water. But you know what? Every day after age 50, you will spend less and less and less and less. Think of your parents. Think of your grandparents. Now let me ask you, where are those 78 million baby boomers that for 50 years drove this economy? See, for 50 years the baby boomers said, oh, it's about me and more and bigger and better and me and more and bigger and better and me and more. Now the baby boomers are literally over the hill. Baby boomers are over age 50. Every year from here on out, baby boomers will spend less and less and less and less, and that, my friends, is highly deflationary. So what am I saying? Am I saying we're going to have inflation? We could. We printed a ton of money. Am I saying we're going to have deflation? We could. Look at all these deflationary pressures. Here's the deal. I don't predict the market. I don't predict the market, but the bond market does. The bond market predicts the future. I don't. So watch the bond market. So let me give you some words to use with your clients. So when your clients are saying, oh, it's going to be bad, and it's going to be double-digit inflation, and it's going to be terrible, here's what I'd say to them. Okay, well, what does the bond market have to say about that theory? How much inflation does the bond market see in the next 10 years? None. How much inflation does the bond market see in the next 30 years? Almost none. Watch the bond market. See, if you see bond interest rates are going to 4%, 6%, 8%, 10%, then what? The bond market will be flashing. Inflation's coming, inflation's coming. Now, to be fair, is the bond market always right? Bond market isn't always right. Barron's had an article a couple weeks ago saying the bond market is sometimes late to the party, but they're the best chance we got. There's trillions of dollars with some of the smartest people in the world that run it. Do you think they would buy a 30-year treasury at 2.9% if they thought there was inflation coming? There's no way they would get their hats handed to them. So watch the bond market. Right now, bond interest rates have been coming down. You know why? Because the bond market is scared to death of all those deflationary pressures. The bond market is far more concerned about deflation than inflation. So what I would tell you, short-term threat, deflation. Long-term threat, inflation. And you got to kind of plan for that, okay? One word that you're looking for, this might help you as well. When you're reading the papers and you're watching the news, if you hear the word growth, if you see that unemployment's coming down, stock market's going up, the economy's growing, it kind of feels like we got our mojo back, what's the risk? Inflation, because we'll get money velocity. And we printed way too much money. If we get money velocity, we'll get inflation. But if you see double dip recession, Great Depression, Eurozone crash, you know, Eurozone's collapsing, stock market crashing, things are bad, what's the risk? Deflation. What I'm saying is these are not normal times. You can't just go with the flow, and now you're wondering, why did they bring Debbie Downer to Provo today? Look, here's my whole message to you. I did that to set up the rest of my message, okay? It's bad out there, but my message is it's oh so good right in here. See, our industry was built for markets just like this. Life insurance was built for markets just like this. See, if I went around Provo and went around Salt Lake and I talked to the wealthiest people and said, what's the best place you put your money in the last 15 years? You know what a bunch of them would tell me? Their whole life insurance was the best. They wish they would have doubled down on it. Whole life has been one of the best places to put your money. Variable annuities with guaranteed death benefits, guaranteed living benefits were built for markets like this. See, those baby boomers are not going to make it on 1% CDs. They're not. They have to be in the market, but they don't want to lose it. Well, where can you be in the market without losing it? A variable annuity with a living benefit. You know, you get one of those guaranteed minimum accumulation benefit riders, it's a cash guarantee. You can't lose. You see? So that was built for markets like this. Fixed annuities built for markets like guaranteed lifetime income. Here's a fact. Your clients can't retire properly without one. That is a mathematical and scientific and economic fact. I'm going to lay that out for you. So I'm going to focus the rest of my time not on all annuities, but on one, a lifetime income annuity. Some of you call it a SPIA, single premium median annuity. Now, some of you are saying, oh, get out of town. They bring this guy on the main platform and talk about a SPIA? Are you kidding me? That's just a niche product. Really? You've heard what I say about niches, right? There are riches in niches. There are riches in niches. See, if you want to get rich, you got to find a niche. There are riches in niches. But I don't think it's a niche product because there's 78 million baby boomers that have to buy one. They can't retire properly without one. In fact, I'll tell you this. If you know anybody over the age of 65 that does not own a SPIA, I can tell you one thing. They have retired in a suboptimal manner. In fact, that's going to be the title of my next book, Suboptimal, because people are retiring suboptimally all the time. So let me take you on an appointment. I'm going to give you now the magic words. Now, if you haven't taken out a pen and paper, take it out now, because I'm going to give you like four or five simple phrases that you can all work into your daily business that will help you increase your sales and will protect your clients. I'm going to take you on an appointment with me with my own grandmother. And I'm recommending that my grandmother purchase a lifetime income annuity because she can't retire properly without one. The first question my grandma's going to ask me is, well, what is a lifetime income annuity? Now, I could go around the room and say, well, how would you describe a SPIA? These words work. Write these down. Grandma, it's a guaranteed paycheck for life. That's it. A guaranteed paycheck for life. When people ask you, what do you do for a living? Why don't you try this? I give people guaranteed paychecks for life. I just hand out guaranteed paychecks for life. I got the best job in the world. I hand out guaranteed paycheck for life. And I think you need one. And then I try to do something with Grandma so she understands. I say, Grandma, you know, you get that Social Security check every month. You know what Social Security is? It's a lifetime income annuity. It's a guaranteed paycheck for life. Remember, Grandpa got that pension. What's a pension? It's a lifetime income annuity. It's a guaranteed paycheck for life. Now, every once in a while, you'll sit down with somebody and they'll say, well, Tom, you don't understand. I worked for Boeing for 47 years. I already got that set. I got a pension. I got the paycheck. Then just pause, smile, and say, okay, I understand. You got the paycheck. Now you know what you really need? You need a guaranteed playcheck. So it's a guaranteed paycheck or a guaranteed playcheck. Let me prove to you why you need a playcheck. If I had to ask you right now, what day of the week do you spend the most money? What day of the week do you go to Home Depot, you go golfing, you get your nails done, you get your hair done? When is that? Saturday. Well, the day you retire, every day is Saturday. You don't need just a guaranteed paycheck. You're going to need a guaranteed playcheck, and that's all it is. So now Grandma says, well, Tom, why should I use a lifetime income annuity? You know, I like CDs because they're FDIC insured. The CPA is recommending tax-free municipal bonds. You got a broker recommending high dividend paying stocks. Why would you buy a lifetime income annuity when you could buy CDs, stocks, bonds, gold? Why would you buy one? Well, these are the payout rates for almost every company in America, okay? And these change every once in a while, but a 65-year-old is guaranteed just under 7% every year for the rest of their life. A 75-year-old is guaranteed just under 9% every year for the rest of their life. An 85-year-old is guaranteed right around 13% every year for the rest of their life. Forrest Jager would be guaranteed 20% every year for the rest of his life. Now, Grandma says she likes CDs. So I say, now, Grandma, help me out. When you go down to the bank and they post those CD rates, do they post different rates based on your age? No. They pay everybody the same. Oh, I'm Miss CPA. You're recommending tax-free bonds. Do tax-free bonds pay different interest rates based on your age? No. They pay everybody the same. Oh, Mr. Stockbroker, you like those high dividend paying stocks. Do stocks pay different dividends based on your age? No. They pay everybody the same. So now here's my question. This is a key question in the morning. Why does a lifetime income annuity have different payout rates based on age? We got to get this, or we might as well go home early. The answer is because you get paid what? Mortality credits. You get paid mortality credits. See, CDs pay no mortality credits. Bonds don't even know what mortality credits are. Stocks have never paid a mortality credit in the history of the stock market. The reason you buy a lifetime income annuity is because you get paid mortality credits. So now Grandma says, okay, but what are mortality credits? Well, Grandma, I got a couple ways of explaining. First of all, did you know every year there are five 90-year-old ladies who go on vacation together? And one year, one of the ladies said, hey, let's each put $100 in this box. We'll tape up the box, and then we'll take the next year when we go on vacation, we'll bring it with us, and those of us alive will open up the box and we'll split the money. They said, Helen, that's a great idea. So you have five 90-year-old ladies, each put $100 in the box. They tape up the box. So what do you think happens the next year? No, they forgot where they put the box. No. Unfortunately, one of the ladies died that year. So now there's four ladies that split the $500. They each get $125. Now, that was a 25% rate of return. Two questions to ask you. How much of that money was invested in the stock market? Zero. What interest rate did they earn in that taped up, dusty old box? Zero. How did they get paid 25% with no money in the market and no interest rate? It's because they got paid what? Mortality credits. So the lady looks at her brokerage account. She looks at this. She goes, hey, this is a pretty good deal. I think we ought to put it back in the box, tape it back up, and do it again. And that's what they did. They decided to let it ride. The next year, one more lady died. So now there's three ladies that split the $500. They each get $167. That's a 67% return in 2 years. No money in the market, no interest rate. Why? Because they got paid mortality credits. I know what you're thinking. You're saying, yeah, but Tom, that doesn't work for my clients. See, my clients have kids, and they got family, and they don't want the money to disappear when they die. Here's my question back to you. Do you have to have the money disappear when you die? No. Only 8% of the lifetime income annuities sold are life only. 92% of all people want a guarantee. They want a joint life or joint life in 30 years certain or joint life with a death benefit. Only 8% buy life only. Look, here's what you got to understand about mortality credits. Insurance companies do not manufacture cars. Insurance companies do not manufacture computer chips. Life insurance companies only manufacture one thing, and that's mortality credits. See, what you got to understand is this thing that you call the miracle of life insurance is truly the miracle of mortality credits. You all have participated in mortality credits through life insurance. See, when you're young, you take advantage of mortality credits through life insurance. A 20-year-old can write one check for $25, and they can step in front of a bus that afternoon, and the insurance company delivers $1 million to their family. How can the insurance company deliver $1 million if they only picked up $25? Because they know not many 20-year-olds are going to step in front of the bus, and they're picking up all those other checks. See, the risk to a life insurance company when they sell life insurance is that somebody will die too soon. The risk when they sell a lifetime income annuity is that somebody will live too long. You see, it's the same mortality credits that they use for life insurance that they use for the 85-year-old widow who can buy that lifetime income annuity and be guaranteed 12% a year, every year for the rest of her life. Because they're on both sides of the risk, the insurance company neutralizes longevity risk. Look, I just got back from Singapore. I spoke in Singapore for MDRT. There were like 6,000 people. They were translating me simultaneously into 32 different languages. Good luck on that one, because I don't slow down for them either. And the day before I spoke, I got interviewed by Asia Insurance Review. And Asia Insurance Review said, Tom, we've reviewed your material, and we're very concerned about the financial strength of U.S. life insurance companies. And I said, really? They said, yes, because the way we got it figured is medical technology is developing so rapidly, we believe people will live to be 150 and 200 years of age, and that if you're selling these lifetime income annuities, you're going to go broke. And I just smiled, and I said, no, you are right. We'll pay a lot of lifetime income, but guess what? We won't be paying any death claims. You see, because we're on both sides of that risk, we neutralize longevity risk. And then I made a rare error from the main platform. Remember, I'm in Asia. And I said, even if the Asian flu were to wipe out a third of the world, I said, we'd be okay because, yes, we may be paying death claims, but no, we wouldn't be paying lifetime income. But what you got to understand is the miracle of life insurance is truly the miracle of mortality credits. It's that same miracle that's a miracle of guaranteed lifetime income. You got to get that. So now what happens if grandma goes down to her broker and says, you know what, I'm going to get my money out of my brokerage account because I'm going to buy one of them annuities from that insurance company. What's the broker going to say? Oh, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't give it to the insurance company. Don't do it. We'll do it. Can the broker do it? No, the broker can't do it, right? That's why they're called brokers, because you're a broker than you were 3 years ago. The broker can't do it. What I want you to know is that every paycheck you get from a lifetime income annuity is composed of three parts. Principal, that's the orange box. They can do that. Interest, that's that gray box. They can do that. But what can't they do? They can't manufacture the mortality credits. Only a life insurance company can manufacture mortality credits. You got to get that. So now grandma says, well, how much of my money should go into a lifetime income annuity? If grandma has $1 million, am I saying she should put her whole million there? No, but we got 400 people in the room. If grandma sits down with you, each of you, should she get 400 different opinions? No, but she would. There's only one answer that's mathematically, scientifically, and economically correct, and as financial advisors, we all ought to know that. The answer is, grandma, you need enough guaranteed income to at least cover your basic expenses. That's the answer. Cover their basic expenses. So here's the deal. If you want to help people retire based on math and science, you ask them, how much money do you need to live your normal retirement? And then you cover that with guaranteed income. Now, what counts? I told you, Social Security is a lifetime income annuity. It counts. Pension is a lifetime income annuity. It counts. But whatever shortfall there is, that needs to be filled with a lifetime income annuity. You got to cover basic expenses with guaranteed income. That's not an opinion. That's a mathematical, scientific, and economic fact. Now, so grandma now says, well, okay, what should I do with the rest of my money? Here's the word we use. Grandma, we will help you optimize your portfolio. Optimize the portfolio. So I gave you about 4.5 really simple phrases. Let me quiz you. What is a lifetime income annuity? It's a guaranteed paycheck for life. If they have a paycheck, it's a guaranteed paycheck for life. Why should someone buy one? Because they get paid what? Mortality credits. How much should go in there? At least enough to cover their basic expenses. What do we do with the rest of the money? Optimize the portfolio. Is there anyone in here who can't say those words? Those are literally the magic words. You work those into every one of your presentations, I'm telling you, your sales will go right through the roof. Now, here's where I differ a little bit from the company I just came from, and that is I say optimize with inflation in mind. It should have a heavy tilt towards inflation protection. Why do I say that? Well, look, if you've got a guaranteed lifetime income covering your basic expenses, you have taken longevity risk off the table. You've taken deflation risk off the table. You've taken market risk off the table. You've taken withdrawal rate risk off the table. You've taken order of return risk. You took them all off the table. What's the remaining risk? Well, there's a few. You might need long-term care. That has to be covered with a long-term care insurance policy. No retirement plan is complete without a plan for long-term care. You might die, and that might impact your pension, your Social Security. That can be fixed with a product called life insurance. So the real remaining risk is inflation. You've got to optimize with inflation in mind. Because if we don't have inflation, you won't need it. Look, let me use my own parents as an example, okay? My parents are in their 80s. They're both retired teachers from Minnesota. They got those pensions that were too good to be true, and they've had pay raises every year, and they're making far more than they ever made as teachers. And my mom says, Tom, and then I did RMD Max with them, which I'll teach in a little while. My mom says, Tom, we got all these checks coming in. We can't even spend them. But where can we save our money? Because banks are paying so low, money markets aren't paying anything. Where should we put our money? I said, Mom, you need some gold, you need some silver, you need some oil pipelines, you need some commodity exposure, you need some equity exposure, you need some TIPS bonds exposure. She goes, oh, that sounds too risky. I said, Mom, your number one risk is inflation. If there's no inflation, you're set for the rest of your life. The one thing that could wipe you out is inflation. They got long-term care policy, they got life insurance. You got to invest with inflation in mind. Because if your paychecks are coming like this, it takes off all those other risks. You've got to invest with inflation in mind. So that's what I would say there. So what does the media have to say about lifetime income annuities? Well, the Wall Street Journal had an article, The Secret to a Happier Retirement, Friends, Neighbors, and a Fixed Annuity. What they did is they looked at who are the happiest people in retirement. We all know who the grumpy ones are. Who are the happiest? You know what they found? People who are surrounded by their friends, surrounded by their families, who have guaranteed paychecks every single month. Oh no, the market's down 2,000 points. Great, let's play another 18 holes of golf. You know who the most miserable people are? The most miserable people are the people who have all their money in the market. And they become depressed whenever the market goes. Don't be one of those people. Don't let your clients be one of those people. Cover basic expenses. Optimize with inflation in mind. A U.S. News and World Report says annuities are part of a diversified overall retirement plan. You can always use the other half or three quarters of your money to invest in a mix of bonds and stocks. A better bet, if you're worried about running out of savings, might be to invest some of it in immediate annuity and invest the rest more boldly. Kiplinger, the perfect portfolio when you're retired. Retirees in their mid-late 60s should consider replacing some or all their bond funds with immediate fixed annuities that pay guaranteed monthly checks for the rest of a policyholder's life. The Wall Street Journal, the case for income annuities. This was the Wharton study by Dr. David Babel. Now, if you know anything about Wharton, they don't issue opinions. Their research is based on mathematical, scientific, and economic facts. What did Wharton say? Wharton said you could retire with as much as 40% less than a traditional stock, bond, and cash mix. What does that mean? That means if your client goes downtown to Merrill Lynch with $1 million, how much do they have to give you to have the same retirement guaranteed? $600,000. How can we do that? Because we pay what? Mortality credits. It's all about the mortality credits. Forbes, risk-free retirement. The more you read these articles, the more you're going to find out Tommy isn't making this stuff up. Now, one of the things we did while I was still with New York Life is we went to the firm called the Financial Research Corporation of Boston. And they're a scientific and mathematical organization. And we said, you know what? We think these lifetime income annuities are a pretty good deal. And you know what they told us? You're wrong. They're an incredible deal. And clients can't even retire properly without one. You know, there's not much that rocks my world. This report rocked my world. I thought I knew a lot about lifetime income annuities. I went through with a yellow highlighter like a kid in a candy store. What I did was I pulled out all those highlights. I got them compliance approved. I'm going to share with you some of the things that rocked my world about lifetime income. Watch this. Here's what FRC says about income annuities. Income annuities offer features others can't. High cash flow, uncorrelated to market returns, retirement alpha. Had you ever heard of retirement alpha? I knew alpha. I didn't know retirement alpha. Retirement alpha in the form of mortality credits, which only life insurance companies can manufacture, longevity hedging and liquidity features. Our analysis shows that how many other investments? No other investment vehicle. None can rival the income annuity for retirement security. There is no other vehicle, none, in the marketplace that can convert assets into income as efficiently as the income annuity. Planning to age 90 feels good. Why? Because most of your clients don't think they're going to live that long. But 33% of men, 44% of women, and 63% of married couples will have at least one spouse live to 90. Simply put, a financial plan assuming age 90 will fail how often? 63% of the time. When these brokers downtown are putting together financial plans, you know what they all use as the number? Age 90. 63% of those plans are going to fail. Although retirement investing is often thought to be about income, it is really more about outcome. And financial advisors like you must help retirees achieve successful outcomes, even in the face of market storms, high inflation, and exceptional longevity. Here's my question. If you don't use a lifetime income annuity, how can you do that? And the answer is, you can't. Let me say one other thing about mortality credits, because I had an agent, I put it in the book, and I had an agent who... I thought it was pretty neat. Here's what he said. He said, Tom, here's my situation. I have a bunch of clients who haven't saved enough money for retirement. There's like no way they're going to be able to retire. The only way they can retire is to pool their money with a bunch of other people who haven't saved enough. And if they all pick life only, the ones that die early, they leave a little on the table. But that's the only chance they got because of the high payout rates that it goes to the others. See, a lot of people think when you pick life only and you die, the insurance company keeps the money. That's not true. When you pick life only and you die, where does that money go? It goes to the other people who pick life only and lived. That's the mortality. So he calls mortality credits other people's money. You don't have enough of your own. We got to get some other people's money. And I just thought that was a pretty neat way of explaining it. So ratings matter for income annuities just like they matter for bonds, but even more so. Since investors are exposed to the credit risk of the insurance company for the rest of their lives, credit risk of insurance companies should be a top priority. It would be a mistake to reach down the credit spectrum for a slightly higher payout. What that means is when you're shopping for a lifetime income annuity, don't shop for the highest payout rate, shop for the highest rated company. That's what that's saying right there. The income annuity enhanced portfolios significantly outperform the conventional portfolios, and not all life insurers are created equal. There are only a few highly rated insurance carriers with deep capacity to back longevity risk essential to income annuities. Did you think that was pretty neat? Your government just came out with a plan too. This just came out in June. You can Google GAO, Government Accounting Ability Office, retirement income, and this whole report will pop up. It's like 76 pages. Let me summarize it for you in three simple bullet points. Number one, Social Security is not enough. I guess that was worth $1 billion. Number two, the GAO says seniors should convert a portion of their savings into what? An income annuity to cover what? Necessary expenses. Tommy's not making this stuff up. Experts also recommended that individuals delay receipt of Social Security benefits until reaching at least full retirement age, and in some cases continue to work and save. So what's your government telling you? You got to work longer. You got to save more. You got to delay your Social Security benefits, and you got to buy a lifetime income annuity to cover your basic expenses. I'm not making it up. You've got everything behind you that you can go out. Look, that's why I did this book, okay? I did the book, Paychecks and Playchecks, to explain the math and science. Before I get into my final sales ideas and close, I want to just tell you a couple things. Number one, this book is going to be customizable. What does that mean? That means you can it'll say Paychecks and Playchecks by Tom Hegna, introduction by your name. And on the back of the book, you can have your picture and a few paragraphs. And on the inside sleeve, you can have your picture and your bio, and you can use that. And I think there's going to be a lot of agents that find that attractive. If I'm also available to do seminars, what would happen if you put me in front of a room full of your attorneys and accountants? What would happen if you brought a client seminar in? You see, I do this all over the country. Two nights ago, I was in Charlotte. They had 150 people in the room. 150 of the wealthiest people in Charlotte, all right? And I don't know, they're going to get $10, $15, $20 million out of that seminar. I'll give you one more thing. I just had one of the former number one agents of New York Life contract with me, and he said, Tom, here's the deal. I just bought a house on a lake, and it's surrounded by all these multimillionaires. I want to spend more time at the lake, and I want them to get to know these people, but I don't know them. And I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a party at your house on Labor Day weekend. Last weekend of the year, meet your neighbor with author Tom Hegna, author of the book Paychecks and Playchecks. And they had wine and cheese, and they all came. And we just socialized, and then I got introduced. I spent about 20 minutes, no slides. I just gave an economic commentary, talked about covering basic expenses, optimized the importance of life insurance, the importance of long-term care. I gave him a little cute story about estate planning. And maybe if I have time, I'll do that one as kind of a thing at the end. Then I gave a 30-second commercial for the agent, and then I said, let's get back to the party. He's already written 3 multi-million dollar cases off that. So think of ways like that. Now that I'm not attached to any one company, I'm available if people want that. So let me share with you some ways that we've helped real people solve real problems. This RMD Max or CD alternative, you know, how many clients do you have? I mean, Utah, they're very conservative. They buy these CDs that are paying 0.37, 0.68. See, what you got to understand is CDs were never made for income. So here was a couple. This says 1.75. Yeah, good luck finding that. But you know what? They weren't happy with 1.75 when it was available. And so they called up their agent. You know what the agent said? What do you need the money for? They said, well, we need some more income. Here's what the agent said. CDs were not made for income. CDs were never made for income. Those certificates of depreciation just don't provide the right level of income. So what the agent recommended was a joint life with cash refund. Joint life means husband gets a check for the rest of his life. When he dies, wife gets a check for the rest of her life. If they both die, the kids are protected. It gave her 333% more income, guaranteed, for the rest of both of their lives. Lifetime income annuities were made for income, not CDs. You know, RMD maximization, I'll tell you, that is the number one seller at New York Life. There'll be almost $1 billion come in just on this idea. If there's anyone in this room who personally wants to make $100,000 in the next 30 days, I can tell you, if you learn what I'm going to tell you right now, you'll make more than $100,000 in the next 30 days. There should be nobody in this room that ever has a financial problem again if you understand this. Now, here's a couple key concepts. Number one, you can do this with anybody of any age. All of you could move your IRA into a lifetime income annuity, start getting a paycheck next month. There's no 10% federal penalty. Does everybody understand that? Any age can buy a lifetime income annuity, qualified or non-qualified, no 10% federal penalty. But I'm going to show you age 70 and a half and higher. Why am I going to show you age 70 and a half and higher? Because at age 70 and a half, what do they have to do with their IRA and 401k? They have to take a required minimum distribution. What if I told you that all these seniors in Utah or in Wyoming and Montana are doing it in a suboptimal manner? And that all you have to do is show them suboptimal and then show them optimal and let them decide. You don't have to sell anything. You just show it to them. All right? So let me show you. Here is a husband and wife, age 70 and a half. They have $250,000 in IRAs. And you know there's a table for your RMDs. You got to take out like 3 point something the first year and then 3.6, 3.8, 4.2. And there's a table. This is just a graph of that table. Now, if you don't know what the word suboptimal means, just take a picture of that. That is a graphic depiction of what suboptimal looks like, and let me prove it to you. If you are all right now saving money in your IRA and 401ks, what are you saving that money for? You're saving for your retirement. When you hit age 70 and a half, you will now be in retirement. And if you're 70 and a half, when are the best 10 years of your retirement going to be? Your first 10. Okay, now let's look at the government's RMD. If you're doing RMDs for people, this is your plan. Let's look at your plan. It's not my plan. Let's look at your plan. Okay, so what you're telling me is in the best 10 years of my life, I'm going to take out the least. I guess I'm saving myself for my 90s when I can go get them Tiger. But oh, by the way, don't live too long or that starts heading down to zero. It'll never hit zero, but when you're 115, it'll be close to zero. So in my best years, I take out the least. In my worst years, I take out the most. And if I happen to live too long, I'm going to just keep dwindling down. Oh, that is good financial security. I feel great about that. That is a ridiculous plan. And that's what all these seniors are doing. Let me show you my plan. Right there, that green line. That green line is a joint lifetime income annuity with cash refund. Now, some of you say, wait a minute, you can't do joint life. It's an individual retirement account. Yes, you can do joint life. Okay, you can do joint life with your spouse, joint life with your kids. You can do joint life with your golfing buddy, okay? This guy picked his spouse. Now, how many years in a row does mine pay more than you? How many? Every single year. Every single year. You know what we found? We found that if you show this to 170-year-olds, about 60 of them will buy right there. Boom. Because they're like Forrest Yeager. They're worried about running out of money. But we also found some people won't buy right there. They're going to give you this objection. Listen to this. They're going to say, well, Tom, see, you don't understand. I'm not like all them other bears out there. I don't even like getting that right there. Because when I get that right there, I got to pay. And I hate to pay. Now, Tom, the way it's looking to me, you're trying to pay me more money. That just means I got to pay more. And I just told you how much I hate to pay. Now, that's a client who doesn't get it. So with that client, you got to go one step further. And I say, no, sir, let me explain. If you take out your RMD, where are you going to pay your taxes out of? Out of your own money. But see, you don't have to do that anymore because you met me. See, before you met me, all you got was that. but now you met me, you're going to get all of this. Remember, all the money above the line, that's the this that I'm bringing to the table that he wasn't getting before he met me. And all we're going to do is take a little of this to pay the tax, and you're still going to wind up with double or triple after tax. Guaranteed for your life, guaranteed for your spouse's life, and protects your kids. You see, some people say, well, but I want to make sure I leave my kids some money. Look, I make it very clear in my book, you don't owe your kids one nickel of your IRA or 401k. You saved that for your retirement. You know how many people I've watched in retirement? They don't spend their money, they don't spend their money, they don't spend their money, they don't spend. I say, what are you doing? I said, you told me when you retired, you were going to buy a new boat. You were going to go on an Alaskan cruise. You're going to join the country club. You're going to do all the things you couldn't do. Have you done that? No. No, because I just in case, they're living a just-in-case retirement. Well, what happens when they die? The money goes to the kids. What do the kids do? Oh, they buy the new boat. They go on the Alaskan cruise. They see the world. You don't owe your kids one nickel of your IRA or 401k. Give them the house. Give them the cars. Give them your brokerage account. Give them all the other stuff. You don't owe them a nickel of your IRA. So that idea right there, if you can get in front of 70-year-olds, you're looking for 7-year-olds. Where are the 7-year-olds? They're all at Dunkin' Donuts at about 6 a.m. Find a Waffle House, 6 a.m. That's where they're. You got to get up early. I said, these guys got prostates the size of coconuts. They can't sleep past about 4 in the morning. You got to get up early. You get up early and get in front of a 7-year-old, and you just show it, and you show it, and you show it. You don't have to sell it. They'll buy it. You just show it. My last one is this. Repairing income damage from the bear market. Let me introduce you to the Andersons. Andersons are 75 years of age. They live down south kind of by St. George. And for years, their brokerage account went well. They went from 200,000 to 300,000 to 400,000 to 500,000 to 600,000. And then almost overnight, their 600,000 dropped to 400,000. And they picked up the phone, they called their broker, and they said, get me out. And it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what you say. They're never going back in. They've been burned. And they've had it. They call the bank. Bank's going to offer them 1%, $4,000 a year. They're depressed. They're disappointed. They wanted a great retirement out of this money. They want to leave some money to their kids. But on the way out the door, they call you. And what did you say? You said, I can fix that. I can fix that. And you showed them that if they put, if they left $100,000 in a money market fund, put $300,000 into a joint lifetime income annuity, you were going to pay them almost six times what the bank was going to pay. And if one of them lived to be 100, it would pay them $603,000, more than what they had at the top of the market. But here's what they said to you. They said, no, I don't think we're going to live to 100. My back is sore and she's not feeling very good either. How can you guarantee them all the money back that they lost? Can you guarantee them? Yes, write this down. Joint life with 30 years certain. You put the whole 400,000 into a joint life with 30 years certain. Now what is guaranteed? No matter what, guaranteed to the husband, the wife, or the kids, $654,000. Who else can take a stock market loss and take that money and guarantee it back to the husband, the wife, and the children, no matter what? You can do it. Look, when the market was at the all-time bottom back in 2008, I'm walking the streets of Washington, D.C., and this was on all the bus stops. It says I've got a lot less money and a lot more questions, and it says, talk to Chuck, Charles Schwab. I'm walking with Phil Harriman, past president of MDRT. I hand my phone to him. I say, hey, Phil, give him a call. Chuck doesn't have the answers. You know who's got the answers in times like this? We have the answers for markets like this. See, I can't tell you, is the market going up? Is the market going down? Are we going to have inflation? Are we going to have deflation? I don't know. But I know this. If your clients have a whole life policy, that doesn't matter. If your clients have a variable annuity with a guaranteed death benefit, guaranteed living with, that doesn't matter. If your clients own a fixed annuity, that doesn't matter. If your clients have covered their basic expenses and optimized with inflation in mind, that doesn't matter. And did I say you have to sell anything today? I said you just have to show it. But you got to show it every day, every day, every day, every day. I say an app a day keeps depression away. A grandpa a day keeps a ledger okay. You show it every day, and I'll see you next year at the top of the table. Thank you very much. Okay, have you ever tried to sell a lot of life insurance? to a rich person, like somebody who's got $15 or $20 million, and you're going in there and estate planning, and they say, well, I don't need any life insurance. I got $20 million. Life insurance, last thing I need. You ever been on one of those appointments? Because I've been on a lot of those. And so what I do, what I found works, is that I agree with the client. I say, you know, Boyd, you're right. You got $20, you don't need any life insurance. Life insurance is the last thing you need. But you know what you need? You need a way to transfer that wealth to your children and your grandchildren. Now, if we could do it with Coca-Cola cans, if we could do it with stocks or bonds or CDs, we would. But we can't. There's only one vehicle that is the most efficient to transfer wealth, and that happens to be life insurance. Well, I got pretty good at saying that. So I'm on an appointment one time out in like Sterling, Colorado, and it was with a New York Life agent. I thought he was taking me out of this rancher. He got $20 million, and I'm doing my thing. I'm thinking I'm pretty good at that, and I'm doing my thing. And the guy wasn't buying what I was selling, okay? You're just trying to make that big commission on that whole lot policy. I don't need any life insurance. I told her that 7 times. And the agent just paused. He reached down into his bag, and he pulled out 4 plastic cows, like you'd have in a kid's farm set. And he said, Mr. Rancher, what Tom's been trying to tell you is this. You have 4 cash cows. This one represents your land. This one represents all your buildings. This one represents your equipment. This one represents all your livestock and any other investments. Now, what Tom was saying is that when you die, the IRS is going to come in, and they're going to butcher 2 of your cows, and they're going to keep the meat, and that your family gets the other 2 cows. And all Tom was recommending was that we take a little milk from each of the 4 cows to buy a policy that when you die, the policy goes to the IRS, and your family gets to keep all the cows. Well, now that's a whole nother different story. Every rancher knows you ought to give a little milk instead of butchering a cow that's good at giving milk. I learned an important lesson that day. And that lesson is you have to speak in the language of the people that you're sitting down with. When you're talking to a rancher, talk cows. When you're talking to a trucker, talk trucks. When you're talking to, you gotta speak in their language because they get that. They get that. It's all about language. See, a lot of people think this is a knowledge business. I would argue this is not a knowledge business. You can be dumb as a rock and make a lot of money. There's a lot of smart people. Jerry Barman's probably in here. He's a smart person. Bill Gallagher's a smart person. Boyd's smart. You know, there's a lot of smart people. You use them. All you got to do is know the words to say. It's words and language, and I can prove it. You can send 2 agents into the same house. One comes out with nothing. One comes out with $3 million of sales. You all got the same products. How did one guy get $3 million, one guy got nothing? Because one person knows how to communicate. It's a communication. It's a language. It's a words business. It is not a knowledge business. You don't have to know everything about everything. Get out there and talk to people.